Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
Excited to be joined by JP Acosta, who's a football writer at SB Nation, who covers both the NFL and college football. JP, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, excited to talk NFL draft with you. You've been putting out some great stuff at SB Nation. Want to get your thoughts here on some specific picks here in this NFL draft to start out with, because I think there's some really intriguing ones, JP. I want to start first at the number 9 overall pick. Do you expect Chicago with this pick to further support the rookie quarterback selection that they're going to take at the top of this draft? Or do you think they should address the defense, or do you expect them to address the defensive side of the ball there at 9?
I think with the 9th pick, there are a lot of ways that Chicago can go. Like you said, they obviously can go with another secondary pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. But when you draft a quarterback number 1, first overall, you need to have proper playmaking, play callers, and protection. And if you're going to draft the quarterback first overall in Caleb Williams, you need to add all those 3 things. So I definitely expect for them to take anybody on the offensive side of the ball. Rome Odunze has been very popular in that spot. I think that'd be a great spot for him to be kind of an outside complement, especially in how his game is such a great natural complement to DJ Moore's explosive ability down the field and Keenan Allen's ability to win in the short yardage areas. Odunze can be kind of that middle range guy as he develops into a true number 1 receiver. Or you go draft Olufashinu, who I think would be an amazing pick there at 9 for the Bears, because their offensive line, of course, Darnell Wright picked last year at number 9, been very good as a right tackle. Braxton Jones has been very hit or miss. I think he'd probably be best as a swing tackle. But Fashanu also played high school football with Caleb Williams, is one of the best pure pass protectors in the class. I think his ability to anchor in the passing game and the upside he has as a run blocker, that'd be a home run pick for them at 9. Now, you could talk me into a guy like Jared Verse at 9. Maybe they trade back with a team who wants to get froggy and jump for one of those other receivers at the top of the board. But I think ultimately this is going to be an offensive pick.
You know, to follow up on that, what do you feel about a trade there? Because one thing we know about Ryan Poles, he's kind of been a master at working his draft board and making all of the right trades. Again, picking up some people that may or may not have worked, but in terms of the moves that he's made, he's been very savvy. So what do you think about a trade there?
I think it makes a lot of sense with where Ryan Poles comes from and how this team has been built. Remember, they tore this team down to the studs to start this entire thing off. So I think Ryan Poles trading back once again, adding some more pass rushers or talent on either side of the ball will be really smart for them if they decide to go that way. I think at that top spot, there's so many good players on the offensive side of the ball, but if you really want to trade back, getting more picks means you get more throws at the dartboard with any position. And I think if they want to get more of those throws at the dartboard for any player to any position, they can absolutely trade out of that pick. I think the draft really starts at 4 with the Cardinals, but what the Bears do, especially with that second first round pick, is really going to be interesting come draft night.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I brought that pick up in particular because I think there's so many different directions that you touched on that they could go there. And they're going to have a choice of some really high-end players. Some of the guys that you mentioned make a lot of sense. But trading back makes some sense too, because we know this team does still have several holes that they need to fill. So getting more picks would make a lot of sense there as well. That's going to be a fascinating spot in this draft. Another team that I want to focus on here, with 3 picks inside the top 35, the Arizona Cardinals could find really 3 instant starters and improve this team quickly if they hit on these picks. Now, outside of wide receiver, where do you think they need to address? Where do they need the most help?
You can just throw picks at every position outside of quarterback and be like, okay, I can see that. But I think their top 2 outside of receiver have to be a cornerback and pass rush. When you play in a division with the 49ers and their Monstars on offense, You play against Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. You play against Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp two times a year. You need to be talented on that side of the ball. I think the Cardinals last year showed that they can be fun on offense. And if you add a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., which all signs point to that happening, now you can go add some more players on defense to help raise the ceiling of that defense that Jonathan Gannon had playing at a really high level. I really like a guy like Leatu Latu. If he falls to Arizona's first round pick, I think that'd be a really good fit for them. I love Kool-Aid McKinstry in that defense. His ability to be in press man, his length, I think his willingness to help in the run game is also going to be very helpful for a Cardinals team that, again, has to face the 49ers Monstars twice a year. But honestly, you can throw any – you can say, yeah, you need a defensive tackle, draft one early. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Or you can go, yeah, they should draft a safety. I'd also say, yeah, that makes sense because they need impact players on that side of the ball. You can't just go out there trying to nickel and dime it again. You need true difference makers. And I think that's where they go with that second first round pick. They need difference makers defensively.
Looking at your mock draft, you know, the enigma of the draft is J.J. McCarthy. I have been racking my brain. I bring it up on the pod all the time. Brad knows this. And I see you have him going at 5. We obviously know Minnesota made that move for a second first-round pick to be able to move and manipulate the board to their liking to go and get their player. Now, if we stay with what most of us know, there's going to be some combination of Jane Daniels and Drake May at 2 and 3 and Caleb going number 1. J.J., for whatever reason, I still haven't figured it out, is boosted up into this. It's top 5. Do you truly see, do you think he's worth, in your opinion, moving up to that 5th pick to grab J.J. McCarthy, given that I'm not sure talent-wise if he matches up to the other guys that will still be on the board?
As a player, and I have racked my brain about this J.J. McCarthy and the ceiling for J.J. McCarthy since he entered the draft. I think the talent there, you can see an above-average starting quarterback at the NFL level in J.J. McCarthy. However, I also think there's a lot of inconsistencies in his game in the drop-back passing situations, which is why I think, as from a true talent perspective, I don't think I'd draft J.J. McCarthy in the top 10. I would say he's more of a mid-to-late first-round pick, but you have to adjust for the quarterback tax, which means, yeah, they're going to go early. You need to go grab a guy. And if the Vikings want to trade up for J.J. McCarthy, who I think, like I said, talent-wise, I don't know if he's there yet, but he'd get there a lot quicker in Kevin O'Connell's offense, which is very reminiscent of Sean McVay using a lot of boot action. McCarthy can succeed in that spot. Of course, if they keep Justin Jefferson, you have Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, two very good tackles in Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw. And of course, O'Connell's a play caller. So I think McCarthy can be good, but I don't know if he's ready right away to the point where you draft him in the top 5.
JP, it kind of leads me perfectly into my next question here, because looking at the 6th overall pick, I think is an interesting spot in this draft as well, because what do you think would need to happen in order for the Giants to bypass wide receiver at that spot, which we know is a big need for them, and go with the quarterback at number 6 overall?
So I actually think the Giants also really, really like J.J. McCarthy and could be one of those surprise teams who they also saw Minnesota trade for a second first-round pick. They can jump up to 4 from 6 while guaranteeing that Arizona still stays in range of one of the elite wide receivers in this class. Maybe that might be a little sweeter than, you know, a team like Minnesota jumping from 11 to 4 and forcing Arizona to a trade out of that. But I think the Giants, if McCarthy goes before them, if they can't get a chance to draft J.J. McCarthy, I don't think they draft a quarterback early. I think they're a very interesting team because of the way Daniel Jones' contract is structured. But I think the wide receivers in this class are too good to pass up on, especially if the top 4 quarterbacks are off the board.
Do you think there's any chance, just to follow up, is there any chance, like, let's say a Drake May or possibly a Jane Daniels, if somehow they slide where we're not expecting them to, but maybe New England doesn't like one of these guys, and all of a sudden one of those guys is available, do you think there's a chance that they would pull the trigger on one of them, or do you really think it's JJ is kind of the guy they're circling if they're going to go with a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones?
If Jane Daniels or Drake May end up falling 2-6 to New York, I think New York is going to sprint up to the podium with that card in Sharpie and then forget about it. You have to take a quarterback there if one of those guys falls. I love Drake May's game. I think he is going to be an instant surefire starter. I think Jaden Daniels can still get there. I think he has a little bit of inconsistencies to his game and some stuff that has some question marks at the NFL level. But both of those guys immediately add more pop to the offense than Daniel Jones. And you see what Brian Daboll did with a guy like Josh Allen. And you think about what he can do with Jaden Daniels and Drake May, and that immediately becomes enticing. I know they still need some receivers, but you cannot pass up on a guy like Drake May or Jaden Daniels if they're both available. I think if either of those guys slides to maybe 4 or maybe 5, you see New York try and jump up, because you know that teams like Denver or Las Vegas are going to try and jump from outside the top 10 into the top 10, especially in the Raiders' case, where Antonio Pierce coached Jaden Daniels in Arizona State. I think that New York, if given that opportunity, has to take Daniels or May.
In light of what we've seen recently with Rashee Rice, I mean, unfortunately, no one was severely injured in that accident. Do you think that changes the way that Kansas City would go in the first round? Or do you think that, understanding that there may be probably a 4-6 game suspension at the most, and then they'll go about business, because Rashee Rice is a good receiver, just simply talking on the field. But do you think that changes their draft strategy, let's say minimum in the first 2 rounds, based upon what just happened?
I don't think so, because I think in my head I've already assumed that the Chiefs would take another receiver in the first round. If you look at all of their receiver targets, including Travis Kelce, they all kind of operate in different roles. So you have the downfield vertical threat ability of Hollywood Brown. You have Travis Kelce, who can create separation, be a matchup nightmare for literally any team in the NFL. Rashee Rice is a lot better in the short yardage areas, but now they need a guy who can operate in that in-between game. And you still need a receiver like that. Outside of those three guys, you have a bunch of guys who are very similar to each other without operating in that role. Even before the NFL began to investigate that the accident that happened, I think they were going to draft a receiver regardless. I do think, in terms of how much it changes, I'm not sure if cornerback is still as predominantly a, oh, we should take one here now, you know, but I've thought that they were going to draft a receiver regardless at the 32nd pick, but I think the Rashee Rice situation hasn't really changed it much. And if it has changed it, it's only by a little bit, just because, you know, you still need a receiver regardless, and that maybe drops cornerback down the board a little bit.
JP, I want to get your thoughts here, because I've been really focusing in on these top 10 picks mostly, because I think there's some spots here that are really, really interesting. We talked about the Giants at 6. I want to jump back to the Chargers at number 5 real quick, because this is a team that I think could go in a lot of different directions as well. And what they do at 5, I think, could really have a ripple effect on the rest of the draft. So rank these scenarios for me as far as likelihood for the Chargers at number 5. Do you think that they, A, draft a wide receiver, B, draft an offensive tackle, or C, decide to trade down?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a great question, actually. I think in this situation, the first ranked choice is drafting a wide receiver. I think it has to be drafting a receiver with what they already have on the roster, and with the potential of Marvin Harrison Jr. just falling to their laps at 5. I think that's a situation where we see, maybe if Minnesota decides to trade up to four, or like we said, if the Giants try and trade up to four and Arizona trades out, that is a situation where the Chargers stay put because the best receiver prospect I think I've ever seen is going to fall to them at five. Now, second, I think trade back. The Chargers need a lot of picks. They need a lot of picks because they need a lot of help, especially defensively. But if you trade back, say, if the Cardinals stand pat, take Marvin Harrison Jr., and the Vikings still want to trade up for a quarterback, that's the spot where the Chargers can trade back. They can add another, they can add a right tackle if they want to. I think they love Taulifuoga from Oregon State. I think you can take that 23rd pick that the Vikings got to try and trade up, and you can draft a corner if you really like them. You can draft a receiver if you really want to. They have so many needs, areas of need on this team where it, trading back and accumulating more picks almost seems like the better decision if Marvin Harrison Jr. weren't in this draft. And in the third spot, I think I'd say draft a tackle at five. I know the Joe Alt to the Chargers stuff got a lot of smoke, especially around the combine, but I'm just a little wary about his play strength and his ability to transition over to the right side from the left, because you're not going to move Rashawn Slater. He was an all-pro at left tackle. I think that just seems like the least likely option. But those first two, I could 100% see them trading back, especially if Marvin Harrison Jr. ends up as an Arizona Cardinal.
Did you know that Pint Glass Football is more than just this podcast? We have an exclusive newsletter. Sign up for free at pintglassfootball.com to receive articles and insights delivered straight to your inbox. But wait, there's more. We're excited to announce our brand new YouTube channel. Not only can you listen to our podcast on YouTube, but you'll also find exclusive video content waiting for you. So hit the pause button right now and go subscribe to our newsletter and hit that subscribe button on YouTube to stay connected with the latest football news and our exclusive content. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. I personally love the Pick'em game. Just pick between 2 and 5 players to build a Pick'em entry. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up today with promo code PGF. That's promo code PGF to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. The official ticketing app of Pint Glass Football is now SeatGeek. I can't recommend them enough, guys. I've been using SeatGeek for years. You want to go to a game this season? SeatGeek is here to take the confusion out of buying tickets, making sure you get the best seats at the best prices. With SeatGeek, you'll never have to worry about overpaying for tickets again. How? They put a 0 to 10 score on each ticket, so you know you're getting a good deal. But here's the real game changer. You can get $20 off your first ticket purchase with the code PGFPOD. That's right, $20 off with code PGFPOD. This season, make every game day epic with SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and remember to enter the code PGFPOD to grab your $20 discount.
So, JP, I know that you went to Florida Atlantic, and I'm wondering, have you looked at any of the players there? You know, this is a college question for you since you went there. Have you scouted or looked at any of their potential players that can go in this draft or even free agents?
I think the top one, and I think the only one that has a chance of getting drafted, and I think he should be drafted, is Evan Anderson. He is a mammoth of a man, a defensive tackle. He is a built-in run defender. I think he still has a little bit of upside as a pass rusher, but you bring in Evan Anderson on day three, you're instantly raising the floor of your run defense. He has such a wide body, but also knows how to disengage from blocks and shed blocks and make impacts in the run game. And he's also played in multiple fronts. Florida Atlantic has played and gone through a lot of different defensive coordinators during Evan Anderson's time in Boca Raton. So I think his ability to play in multiple fronts as a zero tech nose, as a one tech, as a three, that versatility will play a huge part in his ability to get drafted on day three. Outside of that, I really don't think there's going to be another FAU player drafted. You can maybe see guys end up as priority free agents like Larry McCammon, Jaquan Burton, who is extremely fast. He will probably find a roster spot, at least a camp spot, because you can't teach speed, you know? So I think Jaquan Burton and maybe Larry McCammon find camp spots after the draft, but I think Evan Anderson is sure going to hear his name or see his name called on day three of the NFL draft.
Okay, anything from Northwestern?
Northwestern is a little bit more
difficult. No, I know.
I think some of the linebackers will eventually find their ways into camp spots, like maybe a guy like Bryce Gallagher. Started a lot of games, played a lot of games at Northwestern. He's going to find his way onto a roster spot. He's going to find his way into a camp spot. But I think next year is going to be the year for a Northwestern guy, AJ Henning, who transferred from Michigan. I think next year is going to be – he's going to be the one to get drafted.
JP, the Dallas Cowboys have had a really quiet free agency, and I think a lot of their fan base has kind of been wondering why they haven't been more aggressive and made some moves. What can they do over the first 2 days of this draft to kind of make up for that quiet free agency that they had?
How much time do you have? they have a lot of issues, and all those issues kind of expound on their inactivity in free agency. You let Tyron Smith walk, which in a vacuum seems fine. He's entering his 30s. He has not played in every single game. That seems fine on the surface. However, now you're forced with either drafting a tackle early or you move Tyler Smith to tackle, who is he is a good tackle, but an all-pro guard, as we've seen. So now you're creating a hole at guard, and I'm not sure if they want to do that. Tyler Biadasz, also gone in free agency. Now you need a center. You need maybe need a right tackle because Tyler Steele didn't play. Tyler Steele didn't play well. But you also need a running back. Running back is not going to be a position that they really don't – they don't have a lot of running backs going into this draft. I think Deuce Vaughn – and Hunter Lepke are the only ones that are on the roster. And I love Deuce Vaughn, but I don't think Deuce Vaughn at that size can be an NFL workhorse carryback, a ball carrier. Defensively, you need linebackers. You need more pass rush. You might possibly need corners, especially if Stephon Gilmore doesn't come back. They have so many needs that are turning into glaring holes because of their inactivity in free agency. So I think the best hope for them in the draft is you draft a tackle early and keep Tyler Smith at guard, but they feel like they've already telegraphed what they're going to do in the draft. They're going to draft a tackle round one. They're going to draft linebacker round two. I think Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M is a guy they really like. And then Jonathan Brooks is probably going to be a Dallas Cowboy. He's from Texas. He's coming off an ACL tear, but I think he would be He still is one of the best running backs in the class, even with the ACL injury. He just feels like a guy that Dallas is going to love. So they've already telegraphed those moves. But now, because of their inactivity in both in free agency and by not giving Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, or Micah Parsons extensions, you've dug yourself a hole that now you're trying to get out of by drafting great. And I don't know if they really have that ability right now.
This is probably one of the most interesting times to watch the Cowboys and how they move, because I think this is going to telegraph probably their next 5 to 10 years what they do, because I don't think it's as simple as, okay, we're going to run it back and just sign all these guys and be top heavy. You know, it's going to be interesting, and you're right. You need an entire hour just to talk about what they should or could do.
Yeah, I mean, even Tyler Smith. He's going to be a free agent after the 2025 season. You have so many of your stars not locked in post-2025 that now you've dug yourself a hole. And for a team that says they're all in, these moves don't scream all in. It screams, we don't have money and we're relying on the allure of the Dallas Cowboys and the allure of the star to try and get free agents to come. But the last time that we saw the star, they were getting their teeth kicked in by a Green Bay Packers team that was one of the youngest in the NFL. So I really just truly wonder, what is the process? I think that's my biggest thing with free agency and any offseason moves for an NFL team, is seeing the vision and seeing the process behind what you're trying to do and what your goal is for 2024. I have no idea what the Dallas Cowboys process or vision is in 2024, because they've done nothing to ensure that this team is going to be competitive in 2024 or competitive in the year after that.
No, I have one last question. This is a selfish question. I am a Raiders fan and I love Michael Penix. I know you dropped your mock the day or the same week that Penix was doing his pro day. So my question is, after the pro day, because I know you didn't have him in the first round, but after the pro day, do you see him now in the first round? Like, what is your thought process now after hearing anything coming out of that pro day and how high a lot of people were on him?
I think the biggest thing from Michael Penix coming from the pro day was the release looked a lot smoother. I think that'll win over a lot of scouts. That'll win over a lot of franchises. However, I think the age and then just the bucket list of injuries that have kind of nicked Penix since he entered college, I think that'll keep him out of round one still. But in my mock draft, I believe I had Michael Penix going to the Raiders at 44, which I think would be the best fit for him out of any team in the NFL in terms of generating explosives from a deep pocket. I just don't know if the Raiders are in a position to draft a quarterback at 13, because if you're drafting one in the first round, he has to be a dude. You have to try and trade up and go get one of those top five guys. Or not top five, one of those top three. You got to go try and get those top three guys. And if you can't do that, I think you kind of sit there and draft the best player available and then go get your quarterback on day two. There are still a lot of holes left on the Raiders team, especially defensively. I think they can add another corner. I think whatever happens at right tackle, I think the team believes in Thayer Munford. I'm not sure what's going to happen at tackle, but I think there are a lot of impact players there that you can add day one and then go get your quarterback day two. I think the Raiders and the Broncos are in a very similar spot going into this draft, where they both need a quarterback and have a glaring need for a quarterback, but they don't have the capital to trade up. And in the Broncos' case, they don't have a second-round pick. So you might be forced to trade back and be forced to draft a quarterback on day one. The Raiders are they're in an interesting spot because of where they are and how much they need a quarterback. But I think Fuaga at 13, I think Terrion Arnold will be a great pick there. You can still draft Penix on day two. And then, like you said, a Kyree Jackson in the third round. If you do decide to draft Terrion Arnold, I think Kieran Amenajay from Yale is a really interesting pick there. Roger Rosengarten from Washington would be a really interesting pick. I think he's shooting up a lot of draft boards. They have a lot of interesting avenues with how they can build this team. I just don't know if any of those avenues have a quarterback at 13.
Guys, once again, we have been so excited to have JP Acosta on the show again. He's a football writer at SB Nation. He covers both the NFL and college football. Be sure to check out his work there, putting out lots of great stuff all the time. JP, thanks again for coming on the show, man. It has been an absolute blast.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter at PGF Podcast.
You know what's important when you're having a good time? Staying hydrated. And that's where Liquid IV comes in, the category-winning hydration brand that's fueling your well-being. With just one stick of Liquid IV, you get 2 times faster hydration than water alone, plus 5 essential vitamins to keep you feeling your best. And let's not forget about the convenience factor. The packaging is perfect for on the go, whether you're tailgating or just hanging out on the couch. But what really sets Liquid IV apart is the amazing flavors. Personally, I'm all about the Concord Grape and Lemon Lime. And with three times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients to give you the hydration and nourishment you need. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code PGFP at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code PGFP at liquidiv.com. Zencastr is the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Zencastr's post-production process takes the headache out of audio production. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. Coordinating all your guests to record in person is painful and tedious. Easily invite up to 11 participants per recording with one click. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code PGFP and you'll get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.